This is Stateside. I'm April Baer. Just as many of us have been housebound for a year plus, Michigan is home to a number of businesses that are just now getting back to something like business as usual. There's a lot to think about and a lot of decisions to make. Jason Pang is the owner of Galleria Market, a Korean grocery store in Ann Arbor. We talked to him just over a year ago when he had made a pretty consequential decision to keep the business closed to in-store, in-person traffic. And we were curious about how he's navigating this stage of the pandemic with his family business. Jason, welcome back to Stateside.
Hello, thanks for having me.
You closed the doors on March 12th of last year while other kinds of grocery stores remained open. For those who maybe didn't hear us talking the first time around, can you remind us why you and your family made that decision?
Sure. For us, we were looking at a lot of the news coming out of Korea and Europe. And at the time, they were going through COVID pandemic, and it sounded kind of serious. And when you look at American media, we're kind of talking about it. And there's a saying in Korean where you kind of watch the fire from afar or across the lake. Mm-hmm. And that was kind of the attitude. Like, it was just, well, it's our neighbors and you want to help, but then there's nothing you could do. But it wasn't something that was immediate. And it's very tough to prepare for stuff like that. But luckily, because of my mom's insistence, I was watching more of it. And I sort of got out of this like nonchalance mode and try to figure out, hey, what are we going to do once it does show up? Yeah. And it felt like at least for a short term, we should kind of sit back and relax and see what happens. And at the time, the choice was either shut the store down or open as usual. And I thought, you know, maybe there's a third option. And why don't we try to stay safe while keeping our customers safe, and decided to do a contactless pickup. Unfortunately, because I thought it was going to be a stopgap measure, we weren't really ready for it and thought it was going to be a short term, and turned out to be 15 months.
Yeah. I mean, if I remember correctly, you took a look at e-commerce and thought, don't know if that's worth the investment. And you were filling orders via email. Tell us what that was like.
So again, it's fault on my part for not seeing it properly, because if I knew going in it was going to be a 15 months thing, then sure, it would have been worth the investment. But, you know, thinking it was going to be, well, maybe the summer, by the time school comes back, we'll be back. And then of course, winter hit and it's like, oh, hello, Christmas for COVID. So it just kept on getting pushed back. It's one of those situations where if I had to do it all over again, I would probably still do the contactless pickup, but I might have gone the way of e-commerce.
You told us that you were not entirely sure if the business could even make it. I mean, this was just completely new territory.
Oh, sure.
For everyone, but especially for you. How did that turn out? I mean, have you been able to at least maintain a very basic income?
Nope. Just dipped into savings and looking at the numbers drop. Luckily, we didn't have to take out any extra loans besides what PPP was given out. But our sales tanked like 95%.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, but it's understandable. I mean, the process that we had was really clunky. And, you know, I really appreciate the customers that were still cool with it and still encouraged us to do it. And of course, there were people that weren't too happy about it. What was really interesting, though, for me was customers were not happy with the system, but they were also not happy with it because they wanted to shop with us, mm-hmm. which as a business, it's like, you know, it's cool that you want to shop with us. And it's also kind of cool that you're angry at us that you can't shop with us.
Yeah.
So it was a mixed bag. But once we did open up, the response was pretty interesting.
Well, so you posted a message on Facebook recently saying, my mom and I feel like our little 15-month experiment should come to a close. Tell us about it. How did reopening go this past weekend?
It was interesting, to say the least. Like, as I mentioned earlier, when customers came in, they were really appreciative of the fact that we're open again and letting them in. And I would have never thought that would be the response. I had some customers that actually dropped off a thank you card. Oh. And it's like, wow, this is another side of what you see from, you know, it's, I don't know if this could be brought up, but there was some stuff with violence against Asians in America, which I thought was pretty dumb considering mm-hmm. Asians in America had nothing to do with what happened in China. That's slashing out. But on the flip side of it, are the people, and this is just normal non-Korean folks that were saying this to appreciate the fact that we're open again and embracing us again. So that was pretty cool. As for the entire process of us opening back up, the vaccination played a huge part. We kind of waited on when we should get vaccinated because there's certain people that got it like right when it first came out, but we wanted to kind of sit back and look at the side effects and look at the numbers and see how things went. And I was pretty keen on getting the Johnson & Johnson because of the technology, but yeah, it didn't affect a lot of people, but I think it was kind of good that we waited a bit and just ended up going with the Pfizer vaccine.
Mm-hmm.
And that took its time. So that's why the time frame came around July 1st. And that's when our governor said we should open back up by then.
Jason, can you explain what's been going on with your supply chain for groceries? You note that prices have gone up a bit.
Yeah, supply chain is, it's pretty crazy. I don't know if it's the industry actually just telling me things or not, but across all these different vendors of Korean, Chinese, Thai and such, the consensus has been pretty straightforward that a container price has gone up almost 3 to 4 times. I've heard that typically it takes about $3,000 to bring stuff over. Right now it's going up to like $15,000.
Wow.
Even then, they can't get everything they want. Like they would order in advance for a slot, and by the time they actually have the products, they can't get it there because either a ship's not leaving or they had to split the container. And the thing that's really interesting for me to see is life is not back to normal, but for the regular public, they don't see the side of the supply chain. So that's been one of the big hits. So over in Asia, they have factories that are churning because they weren't as affected by COVID. And they just can't get it on the ships. And so in America, like our vendors supposedly get maybe 50% of what they order. From what I order, I get maybe 70%. And even then, the prices are up like 25% in a lot of the cases. I sometimes get a product that's like, oh, it's $1 cheaper per case. I'm like, wait, how? Like, how does that work when certain other things are up like $20, $30 a case? So it's a big unknown. And the other part of the cost calculation is also the cost of labor. Now the wages have gone up and people are demanding higher wages. Employees are asking for more. So that also needs to be calculated into pricing.
Jason, I remember that the last time we talked, you had a lot of reservations about the safety of being around other people for yourself. And, you know, you've got your family to think about, too. And you notice that PPE are so often incorrectly used. I mean, at this point, we've all seen people out in public wearing masks that don't cover their noses or touching their masks or their faces a lot. That was, like you say, in the pre-vaccination environment. Just when you were in the store this weekend, how are you feeling about the relative safety of being around other people in this moment?
Well, sort of gave up on it. And it becomes weird because even though they were saying 6 feet apart, I feel like 10 feet was the better consensus. But you just can't do that when you're indoors. And now, if I were in person, I would show you this. But, you know, it's one of those things where you like slowly creep away, but while trying not to be rude. So I joke around about that. But I feel like right now I wear a N99 mask in the store. And like, it is weird because I sort of want to keep my distance, but then, you know, so many years of living with other people, you tend to gravitate towards a personal zone area, which is like, you know, just a couple of feet. So it's another thing that you have to think about as you talk to people. And as for the safety aspect, it's a mixed bag because, you know, people wear masks. Some people don't wear masks. You're not going to sit there and be like, hey, have you been vaccinated? And so you just kind of let it be. Currently, our store has a policy of don't tell people what to do. If they want to wear a mask, they wear a mask. If not, don't worry about it. Because I jokingly tell people, even with everything involved, like, I'm nobody's mother. So I won't be telling anyone what they need to do. So just kind of let them be. And the little analogy I've been using is of seatbelts. You should wear seatbelts for your safety, but not everyone does. And I guess way back when it was first introduced, people were having freedom issues with the fact that they were forced to wear seatbelts. But, you know, as an adult, you make your conscious decision on whether you want to wear it or not. And I feel same extension for the masks. And now, if you want to wear it to protect yourself, you should. Well, you should wear it for the sake of yourself as well as others. But if they choose not to, what are you going to do? If people want to smoke out in public or indoors, and some people go up and argue with them, other people don't. So it's kind of have to let them be.
Jason Pang of Galleria Market in Ann Arbor. Jason, it's great talking to you. And we're glad to hear that the place is open back up and that you're finding your way through this.
Thank you for having me.
Now we're going to cross the state and talk to one small business owner in Grand Rapids with whom we've kept in touch during the pandemic. Jermail Eddy is the owner of Malamaya Juice Bar and Eatery in Grand Rapids. And back at the start of lockdown, you might remember he shut down his dining room, developed a robust delivery arm for his business, and made it through. Jermail, welcome back to Stateside.
Hey, thank you for having me. It's definitely an honor to be on this show with you all. Thank you.
Well, pleasure's ours. The first time we talked to you was way back, about a decade ago in April 2020?
Yep, I had more black hair.
Right. Is it all gone gray now?
Just about.
Oh, no. The state at that point was just shutting down to help stop the spread of COVID. So much has changed since then. All the restrictions have been removed, but we know that getting back to normal hasn't quite been simple and not necessarily easy for a lot of people in the food and beverage business. Can you fill us in on some decisions that you've had to make in the past few weeks and months?
Yeah, it really evolves around our safety of our employees and others, customers, as well as just thinking through what it means for employment. And so, as you know, and many of the listeners know, that food and beverage industry, they were hit pretty hard with COVID in the beginning, hit again with the right hook with some of the closures, and then hit again with the left hook from different changes, different mandates. And then here we are now coming out of this, and we're hit yet again. And what I mean by that, it's like a double combo punch now, is that one, supply chains are very, very low. It's hard for people to get their ingredients and to get their items based off of the availability of certain things. I mean, even franchises like Starbucks are struggling with certain ingredients. The other punch that we received here recently is employment. And so a lot of businesses are struggling to find employees, and not only to find them, but to retain and keep them, as many feel that they can take, you know, whatever job that they want, whenever they want to. And that is, in a way, the reality with how bad folk are needing employees. So if someone is paying 50 cents more, a dollar more, they're leaving and going to take that. So we've dealt with that. We didn't think we would. But some of the decisions that we had to make was, what do we do about masks? Do we continue to say everyone who comes in and all employees need to have a mask on? What do we do about dining indoors? And so over the past few weeks, we've had various forms of evolution of that. One being, okay, so first we said, you know, we still want to require masks. That decision is left up to the businesses. And then we changed and said, okay, if you are vaccinated, you don't have to wear a mask. Now, we can't technically even check to see who has a vaccination and who doesn't. Our employees are all vaccinated, but they still prefer to wear their mask. They want to keep the sneeze guard up and between the customer and themselves, and they still want to wear a mask. And that's okay. We want folks to feel safe, to feel heard, and to feel comfortable coming into our spaces. And so, you know, we're left to police that, if you will. Businesses are left to police. Are you vaccinated? Are you not? Are your kids vaccinated? How old is your kid? Is he or she under the age of vaccination? And so that's a lot for business owners to get.
Right.
And so in a lot of ways, I'm like, hey, we should get a reduction on our taxes because you're asking us to police people to give us a break on the sales tax. And the other piece that we did is we decided to go ahead and open our dining room.
So I was going to ask you about that. When COVID first struck, Malamaya was pioneering food service in addition to the juices that you make. What did you decide? Where is that now?
Well, we still did the delivery. So when COVID started, we shut everything down for a day, revamped, and I was hopping in my car personally making deliveries to customers. And we're still doing that. We decided to cut back on the food, and that's still I guess, a gap, if you will, a gaping hole in our business is do we bring the food back or not? What do we bring back so that we don't have a lot of spoilage? Because though people are out and about more, we're still not seeing the increase in traffic that maybe other businesses are seeing. I believe those who were in the bar industry, they were held afloat because they were able to have to-go alcohol, and alcohol has a higher, significantly higher profit margin than fresh fruits and vegetables. And so we're still not seeing the traffic return that we were expecting. And so our hours are cut. So we still have COVID hours, 8 a.m. to 2 p.m. because we don't have the traffic and we don't have the employees to work some of those shifts. And we're trying our best to hold on. Now that we quote unquote made it through the pandemic, now we need to make it to another year and another year and another year.
The last time we spoke, you said something related to this that really stayed with me. You talked about the fact that the current moment has created some different kinds of demand for customers, demands that stay with us even as conditions change during the pandemic. I thought of that so many times when I was, say, ordering takeout from a restaurant that sounded really crowded as things were opening back up and staff was struggling to take my order and deal with the people right in front of them. How do you think about that balance right now and what these new demands mean for what you feel like you can offer going forward?
Yeah. Before we had a culture, I believe, just across the country, maybe across the world, of a instant culture. We had the Instant Pot. We had, you know, the microwave, the phone, you can get your emails instantly, you can get your text messages instantly.
Right.
And then there was the delivery companies, instant food. No matter where you are, you don't have to go out if it's too busy or you can't drive or don't have a license. And so the pandemic elevated that significantly, where restaurants and spots like us, we have three additional iPads for three different food delivery services, folk calling in, folk ordering on our website, and then you have customers walking in. And so we recognize that. And it definitely is a balancing act to try to keep that going. But I don't want to discount the customers who kept us going during this entire pandemic. And that was those who ordered through delivery services, that are those who ordered our juice subscriptions, or the customers that needed delivery so that I had to hop in my vehicle to drive all around town. Those are the customers that kept us going. Now, some of them are the same ones that are coming through the door, but some of them are not. And so you're right. It is a balancing act on how we're going to be able to do this. Because many businesses, especially small business owners, were the ones making those deliveries personally. Why? Because insurance for a restaurant to have for other employees to make deliveries is astronomical, the fee of it. So it's cheaper to just have the owner go out and do it. But can you run a business? Can you have a family? And can you make deliveries now that the demand is up to have an in-store presence? And then, you know, business owners are being asked also to donate to charitable causes. Well, look, many of us are still down 20 to 35%. We thought we were trying to get to the summer, but now many are trying to get to 2022, summer 2022, to hope to see the businesses increase. So, you know, I think we've become magicians in our own rights to just
right.
make things happen.
Right.
And many of us are getting tired. Many of us are tired from being creative for 14, 16 months. And now it's like we've been handed the baton again to run another lap of the race.
How are you dealing with the problems of attracting folks who can and are willing to do the job? We've seen so many help wanted signs popping up all over.
Well, we are trying to, as the old rap song says, breathe, stretch, shake, and let it go. We're just trying to breathe through this. It's kind of, it feels like a growing pain to a degree. And so we're breathing through the pain. And what that means is, again, shorter hours and maybe longer wait time. Most of the customers have been understanding of all of that. So we appreciate all of them. Now, what we're trying to do to attract is we try to increase our pay. Now, our business plan wasn't put together for a significant hike in pay without having to raise their prices and do other creative things. But we decided to try to raise that hourly wage with the hopes that the business will come. Not that the business is there, but that the business and the customers will come, that they'll tip more, that they'll have larger orders. But here, keep this in mind that we're not able to compete with some of these other chains, McDonald's and things. I've seen job signs for fast food saying 15 to to $25 an hour and a $300 signing bonus. If anybody needs a signing bonus, it's the business owners that need to get a bonus. And so we're just trying to compete. But what I truly believe is that there are some jobs out there that were not created for individuals who needed to have the living wage and who needed to have insurance and who needed to have benefits and things like that. There are jobs out there that were created to serve the purpose of high school students, college students to come back for the summer and work. But what I believe is that when the recession hit in 2008, it caused adults to lose their jobs. And then adults needed to look for work. And the only work that was out there might have been some of these jobs that were actually meant for teenagers and young adults. If you go to your local McDonald's, for instance, look and see how many teenagers are working versus older adults being 35 and older or 40 and older. And we're in a different world. We're in a different place now. And us small businesses, very micro small businesses, are kind of getting squeezed out. So we're trying to be creative the best that we can, trying to figure out how do we, as a group of businesses, connect and see if we can purchase insurance for managers, for instance, to see, because some of us business owners don't have insurance, but we're trying to see how can we do that so that our employees can stay, that our management can stay, so that we're not having to work the business and run the business at the same time. So right now, we went through a period of having to be creative to keep our business to survive through COVID. And now we're needing to be creative to get through this crazy time of the need of employees. Yeah, I just really want people to realize that it has been difficult for us and it will be difficult for us going forward. Many of us invested our life savings, put things on hold or on stop to go into business. Many of us have gone without for our families to run this business during the pandemic. And some business owners have worked and are working 14 plus hours behind the counter and then going home at night and getting up early to operate a business to make sure that the business is flowing. And so I'm asking everybody to have some patience. I would love to see just a flow for small business owners of thank you emails, appreciation cards. Send some flowers to your local coffee shop, fresh flowers there just to say thank you. I'm looking for people to go back to an old school random act of kindness. If that's something as just writing a note on the back of the receipt and passing it off, maybe it's giving a donation to that business. Maybe it's scheduling your meetings at that business or getting catering from that business. So do not forget that when the pandemic hit, many in America made an agreement with themselves and with the world that they would support small businesses. Many said that they would support small Black-owned businesses, Latino-owned businesses, women-owned businesses. And I'm asking America to not forget about that promise. Don't go back to life as normal. Let's have those habits stick. We need you all, and you all need us. We're in this together.
Jamil Eddy is the owner of Malamaya Juice Bar and Eatery. His business is located in Grand Rapids. Jamil, thank you so much. It's great talking to you.
Thank you so much. You all have a wonderful day, and I appreciate all the work that you have done before and during this pandemic.